Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Bow to the people. It's time for bow to the people. Come on, way. Come on now. Bow to the people. It's bow to the people.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Powell to the People, live on the radio. Wayne Powell here at the beach, and we have our program director and sound engineer, South Bay Jay, in the studio. Well, there was no news going on today because on TV, everyone was, all the channels were, news channels were consumed with the solar eclipse. So I guess that's news. Well, what's interesting was then after the eclipse, or some period of time after, because they were, you know, running replays of it. But then all of a sudden, you know, there was the news. So news is always happening, except I guess when it's on a slow news day, and then they have to find things as filler, you know, to make up for that. But we had great weather here. That was the good news. The bad news was we could only see a maximum of 40% of the solar eclipse effect because we're not in the direct line of the, you know, where the sun and moon are passing around the globe. Now, a lot of people, including many of my friends, actually went to Texas to view it, and they were actually taking emergency precautions, and especially regarding the state's infrastructure. So I guess that means like bridges and roads due to all of the extra traffic. And then, of course, with that many people, it does drain, you know, the water systems and sewer systems and whatever. But, you know, yeah, I recognize that we're not going to have another solar eclipse for another 20 years. Not sure if I'll be around still, back in 20 years from now. But, you know, it's not all that much important. There's a lot of other more important things that were happening. But over the weekend, we went to the library, and the Manhattan Beach Library here, and they were giving out the special solar glasses. I was going to say sunglasses, but I don't know if you could call them that. But anyways, people were, snapping them up. In fact, we got, I think, one of the last few or last couple of those special glasses. And I know in the news they were saying that there are some, or were some, protective solar glasses that were floating around that really weren't, there's some kind of certification to make sure that they're really safe. And apparently there were knockoffs or ripoffs or whatever. And then on the news today, before the maybe an hour or two before the solar eclipse was about to start here on the West Coast, they interviewed this girl who has vision problems because she watched the last one, I guess it was in 2017 maybe, and it damaged her eyes. So, but the interesting thing was I took photos with my camera, and so it was kind of hit or miss, because I was wearing the dark glasses, the protective glasses, on me, and then I had them covering the lens of my phone. And so I would just take random photos, moving the camera around, thinking, you know, in one of the shots I'll actually get the sunset, or not the sunset, but the solar eclipse. And I actually did, but it really didn't come out that well. It was interesting looking at it through with the special glasses, And, you know, again, we had clear weather. It was only a 40% obstruction, you know, the moon obstructing the sun. But it was still kind of cool looking. A lot of people did the other trick where you have something with a hole, pinhole in it, and then it projects the image, you know, on a surface, like on the ground or on a countertop or whatever. And then people had things that I'd never thought of, like, you know, a spaghetti sifter or, you know, a cheese slicer someone had, and a cheese grater, I should say, and, you know, with the great holes in it. And you could see multiple eclipses being projected, you know, like on a piece of cardboard. I was saying, hey, now I'll know next time. But, again, I don't know that 20 years from now I'll be on this planet. And if I am, I don't know if I'll even remember it, you know, to do that. But anyways, it was fun. You know, what was great was watching photos of crowds, like at Griffith Observation. And then actually a number of people were in the at the Manhattan Beach Library in the back courtyard. I don't know why I didn't think of that, but, you know, you could see it from anywhere here, again, because the weather was really good. And I did see a couple of cars stop on my street, and people got out. And if I hadn't known any better, I would have said, what the heck are they doing? What's going on? But obviously they stopped to check it out. And I don't know, some of them were, well, I saw one guy that was wearing two pairs of sunglasses, and that ain't going to cut it, I don't think. I know the special glasses that I have are very dark. You can't see anything except just, you know, the brightness of the sun, you know, the outline of the eclipse. So, and I don't know if it's something where you have to look at it for like a period of time, or, you know, if it's just almost instantaneous, it'll zap your eye. I'm not about to try it out and see what happens. It'll be interesting to see if the after stories, maybe on the news, about people that did look at it with just sunglasses or even their bare eyes, and maybe they have damage. But now I'm beginning to think I take sunset photo every day, and I wear sunglasses, and I don't look at the sun. You know, again, my iPhone does, but I'm sure there's peripheral sun coming through. So I don't know, maybe I might even retire from doing sunsets. You know, people ask me if I ever get bored, and, you know, each sunset is unique, and they're always different, and it's not always the same. So, and people, and then I posted on social media, and people still, you know, like my photos, so it's not like anyone's getting bored with it. Or maybe they are, and they're just not saying. But again, you know, that was the big news story of the day, and then I'm sure on the nightly news, you know, that's going to be the big story. And then by tomorrow, everyone will have forgotten about it, and it'll just be a blip, you know, on the screen, on the past, in the past. And everyone will, you know, put it aside and go on to, you know, other business. And speaking of which, let's move on from the sun, or I should say the solar eclipse. I hope the photo sensor on my phone, however, doesn't get damaged. After, you know, I did my photos, I read that, you know, that could damage the photo sensor on a smartphone. The one thing is, I take sunset photos and have done that for a few years now, and I would think if that were the case, I would have had problems with my phone. I know the iPhone isn't very good at taking photos in total darkness. If you have the flash on, then oftentimes that distorts everything. So I always have the flash off. But if I'm doing like a moonset it doesn't really come out that well. Now, surprisingly, if I take indoor photos in low light, and again, I always have the flash off, it actually takes really good photos. So it does adjust for that. And on those few occasions when it doesn't, then I just threw either the iPhone, the native phone editing app that it has, or when all else fails, Photoshop generally fixes it. You know, you just hit auto adjust, and you know it does the correction for that as well as color corrections. So again, it's amazing, you know, how idiot-proof phones are. I suspect that not only that's true of iPhones, but I have a number of friends that have Android phones, and you know, the technology is there. And of course, I've taken photos with my iPad. One time, my iPhone was dead, and you know, the battery needed to be charged. And so it was a sunset photo. I was lazy. I went on my balcony, took a photo of the sunset. And an iPad is not as good as the iPhone, at least insofar as, you know, taking photos. Now, my iPad is an older one, so I don't know, maybe with the technology, the newer ones do a better job. But a lot of it is the digital optics, you know, the software. And of course, you can have an older device, whether it's a phone or a tablet, and you get updates. And so, you know, it seems like that really shouldn't make a difference, the age. Although I still see people with old analog flip phones. I mean, now they have the retro flip phones, and they have those big screen flip phones that I think Samsung makes, where your phone can actually be, looks like a mini tablet when you unfold it. They were having problems originally when it first came out because it would leave a crease where the fold was, you know, over a period of time. But apparently they have fixed that now. But I see people with the old analog phones, and I didn't think they had the analog networks anymore. I thought they decommissioned that. And in fact, I thought there was a period of time when they were actually, the carriers would give away a free phone just to get you off of the analog so they could, you know, just decommission it. But yet, I still see people, so I guess maybe there's still some networks, phone networks, cellular networks that still use, you know, the old analog phone. Or maybe they have something that converts it into a digital signal, you know, through at their end of the, on the other end of the receiving area for the phones. But anyways, so today, shifting gears, today the minimum wage for fast food workers went from $16 an hour to $20 an hour. You know, as I said on my last show, you know, of course, that's a 25% increase. And there were predictions that there'd be decreases in service, you know, like longer wait times because there were going to be reduction in workforces, you know, layoffs, either layoffs or reduction in their hours. And, of course, more automation and robotics and kiosks, as well as the fact that, you know, there would be price increases. And I remember they were saying your Big Mac will increase in price, and then it may also shrink, or they'll put more fat into it, and they'll put less fries in the package, and of course increase the price. And they were talking about also, when I think of fast foods, I think of, you know, like the burger joints, but they had mentioned Starbucks is considered fast food. So it'd be interesting to see now whether all of the predictions have come true, or maybe it takes a little bit of time before that happens. But as I said earlier, you know, whenever there's a cost increase, that's always passed on to the consumer in the form of a price increase. So when it's interesting, when they say we're going to tax, you know, these businesses, we're going to tax their profits, but unfortunately, that almost always gets passed on to the consumer. So the businesses don't pay the taxes. We do. So, or then the so-called shrinkflation, where they shrink the size of the product. So we'll just have to see. I guess time will tell what's going to happen. I had this discussion with a friend, and we were kind of wondering what's worse, having the product size shrink or having the same size product but having the price being jacked up. And, of course, worst-case scenario, it's a little bit of both, or maybe not so much a little bit, but, both a price increase and, shrinkage of the product. So, and if it's like food, and like particularly burgers, then they could grind up more fat in the burgers. So, again, I guess it's too early to tell, but I guess we'll all find out in time. Now, the one thing is, I was saying if you'd win the Powerball lottery, then who cares? All bets are off. And it kept rolling over for like 3 months. And didn't, but until just recently, just now, when the somebody won, the $1.33 billion, that with a B, dollars, $1.33 billion, and it was a solo winner. Usually, when the jackpots get really high, of course, a lot of people are going to play, and the result is that maybe multiple people win the jackpot, in which case they have to split it. And I remember one time, I think it was when it was a record jackpot. It was like well over a billion and a half. And I think there were 10 people that got the numbers right. And so I forget how many million each that was. They were saying, oh, man, what a bummer. Well, no, it's not a bummer. I mean, it's money, millions that you didn't otherwise have, and you didn't have to earn it or anything. So it's still better than nothing at all. Oh, the other thing people say is, well, but in this case, the $1.33 billion, that's paid in 30 annual payments. And depending on what age you are, you may not live that long. Or you can take a lump sum payment, but they do what's called the discounted net present value based on inflation of what, a dollar 30 years from now would be worth today. And in this case, $1.33 billion comes to $620 million if you take a lump sum payout. And so somebody would say, oh, man, it's only $621 million. It could have been $1.33 billion with a B. But, $621 million is nothing to shake a stick at. Well, I have to qualify. That's pre-tax. So maybe you get half of that. If you take the lump sum, you're going to get clobbered in the taxes if you take a lump sum. If you get it over time, like over 30 annual payments, in other words, over 30 years, the taxes you'd pay would be less. But I don't know what the tax rate would be, but just let's say on $621 million, you get half of that. Again, that's money you never had in the first place. And these people get these super huge jackpots. That's more money than you could spend in a lifetime. I mean, the biggest challenge would be to spend it if that's what you wanted to do. Over the weekend, I was binge-watching. One time, I was watching YouTube, and we were actually watching something where it talked about the lifestyles of the rich and famous, these billionaires, and they had, like, the top 10 richest people in the world. And I remember the commentator said, that's more money than someone could spend in a lifetime. And oftentimes they give away a lot to charity, which is a good thing. They're not doing it, some of them are not necessarily doing it out of the kindness of their heart. They're doing it for tax purposes, actually. It's a tax deduction, write-off. But the effect is that it's good if it's going to charitable sources. And but they were showing the lavish spending of these billionaires, and you know, they have like a collection of cars and jet aircraft and mansions all throughout the world, and yachts, you know, a fleet of yachts, some of them. I mean, one would be sufficient. I don't know why you need more than that, just like more than one airplane. Cars, maybe I could see. You know, you could drive a different car every day of the week. But and then they have these cars that are worth $1 million. Actually, so on YouTube, when you watch something in particular, then YouTube, if you don't do anything, it'll send you to the next video, and then the next one after that, etc. And it's always based on your viewing habits. So since we had watched something based on, you know, or something about billionaires, seeing a lot of billionaire stories, and I think it was Jeff Bezos, you know, from Amazon, or it could be Mark Zuckerberg, I don't know, one of them, had like these multi-million dollar cars. One was like an $8 million car. You know, for that much money, I'd buy like a house on the Strand in Manhattan Beach. Although I think now they're over $10 million at least. But I mean, I'd buy something like that. And of course, a property appreciates, whereas cars depreciate. Although those gazillion dollar cars probably are a good investment, I think. I'm not sure. I don't think they depreciate like other cars. Anyways, on that note, we have to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Powell to the People on the Healthy Life Radio Network.
It's Powell to the People.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best Earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now. So come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 1-800-849-8978. That's 1-800-849-8978.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Love with Food delivers healthy, natural, organic, or gluten-free snacks every month right to your door. Whether you want a home or business box, Love with Food has got you covered. Membership starts at $9.99 a month. Imagine junk-free food delivered every month. And the best thing is that for every box you buy, Love with Food donates to food banks in America. To find out more, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click the Love with Food banner. And do it right now.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
It's Powell to the People.
Welcome back. You're listening to Powell to the People. Well, so, you know, one thing I should, I was going to say Google, but I should search in YouTube, is I know they've documented the stories of people that have won, you know, super huge lottos, and then what became of them and what they did with their money, and there's some good stories and then some, you know, bad stories about how they went from rags to riches, but then they pissed all their money away and went back to rags and being broke. But, you know, that would be kind of interesting. Then some of them, had issues with the IRS. So, you know, if you win a large, and then other people, were being sued by all kinds of people that like to take advantage, you know, unrelated, they'll file a lawsuit and say, I'll drop my suit if you, you know, give me $1,000 or $2,000 for nuisance value. And there's all kinds of problems. But they say if you win a large jackpot, some of the lotteries, you know, state lotteries, you can remain anonymous. But most of the others, that's not the case. So they say before you go to claim your prize, you put your ticket in a safe place, like a safety deposit box. Take a photo of it as well. And then the first thing you do is you see a tax attorney, contract attorney, you know, a CPA, maybe a financial advisor. Actually, not maybe. You should see a financial advisor to obviously you minimize your taxes. You have the tax attorney would minimize the taxes. The investment advisor would tell you how to invest the money. And you just can't put it in a bank because banks are only insured up to, well, last time I checked, I thought it was a quarter of $1 million, you know, $250,000. So if the bank fails, anything that you have over that amount, you either get like pennies on the dollar or maybe nothing at all, depending on how much money is around, you know, to pay off the creditors. You often hear about, you know, famous people that file for bankruptcy or corporations, and then, you know, they have the preferred creditors that get paid first. Of course, the IRS, you know, the taxing authorities get first dibs at it, and if there's anything left over, then it goes to secured creditors, and then it goes in order of, you know, their security interest, and then anything left over goes to unsecured creditors, but oftentimes, when it gets down to that, there's no money left over, so, and if you have money, if it's a bank that failed and you have money in the bank, again, it's guaranteed, you know, for up to $250,000 or whatever. The limit now is, you know, the maximum amount nowadays for the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Assuming it's $250,000 and you have $1 million, then what you should do is put it into four different banks. And you have to make sure, you have to be careful, because you could have two separate banks, but they could be owned by the same company. And I'm not sure how that works. I'm not giving out any legal advice here. This is just general information, and I'm not an attorney or anything like that. So, and actually, you should be under the $250,000, if that's the limit still, just because when you get interest, then that could put you over you know, whatever the maximum insured amount is. So again, all of that, that's all the reason why you need to have a tax professional and an investment professional. And on that note, obviously we're a week away from April 15th, and you know what that means. That's when your tax returns are due. So and if you haven't thought about it yet, you better hurry up, and if you have a tax professional, a tax preparer that does your returns, they might all just be booked up now through April 15th. So you should have thought about it some time ago. And hopefully you also had the proper amount withheld, or you made appropriate estimated payments, because then the IRS can go after you with interest and penalties. And I've seen where, you know, people did that. The interesting challenge, you don't want to have too much withholding. You know, people always say, wow, I got a big refund on my taxes. Well, if that's what happened to you, that was bad tax planning. You just gave Uncle Sam an interest-free loan, if you will. So you don't want to have too much withheld, but of course you obviously want to have enough. So I think at one time you had to have at least 80% withholding. So if you wind up breaking even when you, you know, do your taxes, then I guess you did okay. And that's also the other thing about a tax professional, is not only will they prepare your return, but then they can tell you, you know, what your withholdings are, or what it should be, or, you know, whether you need to make estimated payments. But sometimes things happen where, let's say, you get, like, pretty much the same salary every year, and you have the appropriate withholding. But then you come into, like, an inheritance, or you, let's say you're invested in the stock market, and you made a killing in the stock market, and you had realized gains, or you sold real property, and you know, you had a gain on the sale of the property. There are sometimes things that, you know, if you have an extraordinary transaction, or let's say you win a lottery, that's when you should, again, consult with a tax professional. So, but, you know, going along the lines of a lot of money, you know, and when I mean a lot of money, billions, it's interesting watching the lifestyles of billionaires and multi-billionaires and how they spend their money. And, you know, it's just kind of like beyond belief, especially the people that, you know, accumulate cars that are gold-plated. Now, I'd be kind of concerned about having a gold-plated car, because it's not like you could park it anywhere, because I think somebody would steal, you know, a fender or whatever part you could, you know, rip off of the car. And so I don't know what the insurance would be on expensive cars like that. Or certainly, when, you know, if somebody's not paying attention, like they're texting and or driving distracted, and then they smash your car. You know, if it's a gold-plated car, I don't know where, you can't just take it to a normal body shop. And you can't take it anywhere. I don't know how that gets fixed, but, you know, maybe we should all have that problem. Well, not have getting into a wreck, but having a problem with upkeep on a car. Plated car, I don't think you have to wax the car. But I know cars that, you know, are made of stainless steel. And I saw the other day a Tesla truck, and that's got a stainless steel shell on it. And you don't have to wax it. But I can guarantee you there's going to be other problems. And I'm going to ask you, well, I'll hold that thought, and we're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, that's what we'll talk about.
It's Power to the People.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
If you're in Southern California, you might want to consider HealthyLife.net Radio for advertising. We have 18 hosts that have shows with loyal listeners just in Southern California. That means you get local advertising and the world for the same affordable price. With packages for every budget, you can't afford not to let that economic sun shine in for your business. Call now 1-800-555-5453. That's 1-800-555-5453.
When you need quality auto parts warehouse is fast and easy. Always get the part that fits. Just enter your vehicle type to find the parts specific to your car. Auto body parts, mirrors, brakes, suspension and steering, engines and drivetrains. Need something yet? What about exterior and interior accessories or headlights? Auto parts warehouse has them. Top brands, great prices. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on auto parts warehouse.
Everybody down! Dwayne Johnson here. The earthquakes you see in movies are one thing, but real life is a completely different animal. Just because you can't predict an earthquake doesn't mean that you can't prepare for one. In the event of a real earthquake, you should drop, cover, and hold off. Visit ready.gov/earthquake and practice what to do to keep you and your family safe in the event of a real earthquake, and you'll be seen as a hero by your family and your loved ones.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
It's Power to the People.
Welcome back. Wayne Powell here. And you're listening to Powell to the People. So I live a half a block from the beach, and I know that the homes on the Strand that have trims that are stainless steel, and I think it's also surgical stainless steel, they still oxidize. And over time, you know, it has a corrosive look to it. If in fact some of them that maybe weren't necessarily stainless steel, but they were painted, you could see where they corroded through. So if you live near the beach, and even if you have your, let's say your car, you have a car that's stainless steel, whether it's a DeLorean, or it could be that, as I mentioned earlier, the Tesla pickup truck, I'm not sure what other stainless steel cars there are, but, you know, you get the salt, when it rains, especially when you're outside and it rains, it's close to the beach, it's that salty marine air, because the ocean water evaporates into the clouds, and then when the clouds rain, it comes down on, you know, your stainless steel. And if you're inland, then you get the acid rain when it rains, you know, all of the pollutions, the chemical pollutants that evaporate or somehow get into the environment, and then it rains down on your vehicle. So for me, that wouldn't be a smart move. And I've had, you know, steel furniture on my balcony, and it didn't last. And then I went to aluminum, thinking, okay, that's better, and it's actually lightweight. But that didn't last. That actually oxidizes and, you know, pits. And then, you know, if you have wood, then because of the Mediterranean environment, or the environment that's obviously by the beach is conducive to termites, then if it's wood, the termites eat it. Even teak wood, which I was told is somewhat termite resistant. And then if you have plastic outdoor furniture, after a while the UV rays from the sun make it brittle. And I had plastic furniture. I had a plastic like a, not a lawn chair, I don't know what you call it, reclining chair, and I sat in it one day and I fell right through it and actually got stuck. And then it's like, how am I going to get myself out of here? And I was on the balcony, and I didn't have my cell phone with me, and so I figured, okay, I just break the, because it had those slats, I broke the pieces off just so I could extricate myself. And it was actually crumbling, and I didn't want to carry it into the house, so I threw it over the balcony into my driveway, made sure there wasn't anybody there, and when it hit, it shattered in a gazillion pieces, and my neighbor just happened to see it and said, hey, Wayne, you must be having a bad day. And but it actually made it easier just to sweep it up and put it into the trash can, you know, and dispose of it that way. But you know, having a stainless steel car, I just don't think that is, you know, the best idea. And then when a car gets in a wreck, usually they bump out, you know, the major dents, but oftentimes they have to fill in with, like the metal filler, I guess they call it Bondo. And so, but you can't do that with, and then of course they prime it and paint over that, but you can't do that with a stainless steel vehicle. So again, for insurance purposes, I'm not sure what the effect is. But I took photos of this Tesla truck, and I said, is it just me, or do you think it's ugly? And I got a lot of comments, some of which I can't repeat, not about me, but saying, you know, like adjectives to describe the ugliness of the vehicle. And but most of them would say, you know, what were they thinking when they designed that truck, and what was the person thinking who bought one of those trucks? Although maybe part of what they were thinking was that they wanted attention and wanted to have something that is kind of unique looking. And then some of them said it looked like a kid designed it and just bought sheets of sheet metal and, you know, welded them together to make the car or bolted them together. It's just not something I would get. Although I do have to say that when the DeLoreans came out, and then years later, you know, when they were a heck of a lot cheaper and, on the resale market, at one time I was thinking about getting a used DeLorean, and that was designed by, I can't remember his first name, his last name was DeLorean, who worked for GM, and most all of the parts, with the exception of the shell and maybe some other parts, were General Motors, GM parts. So it's not like it would be difficult to get replacement parts. And I used to tell people, I knew some people that had unique cars, and I said, isn't it a problem, getting replacement parts? And I found out that no matter how unique it was, there's a market out there. You could find practically any part you need, and there's people that manufacture replica parts or replacement parts. So, if you need to have parts, I guess you go to eBay online and you could buy them there. Anyways, as everyone who knows me or listens to me knows, I love football. And, of course, I watch some UFL football, the United Football League, which is a merger of the USFL and XFL. Not sure how long that's going to last. And when you see the seats in the stadiums, they're all empty. But I finally figured out the point after. Normally you can, in the NFL, you can either kick, a one-point conversion, or you could run a play for a two-point conversion. But in the UFL, the point after is, if you run the play from the 2-yard line and are successful, you get 1 point. If you run it from the 5-yard line and you're successful, you get 2 points. And if you run a play from the 10-yard line score, then you get 3 points. Kind of just like a little bit like basketball, where, when you shoot, you can either shoot a 2-point basket or, from the distance, there's a 3-point zone. Of course, I've seen people make a desperation shot with like less than a second left on the clock, and in very rare cases, they actually sunk the ball. One time, it was like didn't even rim; it just kind of came down, or maybe it bounced off the backboard. But that's extremely rare. But I wish the NFL would actually adopt, the scoring that UFL has. Now, we also watched a friend of ours that has a grandson that plays in arena football, and we watched a portion of that game streaming. And I don't really like indoor football. Just to me, it doesn't seem like football. And because it's not the length or width of a normal football field, then things have to adapt things. And then the way they run the plays, where a bunch of people start running, and then before the ball snap, as long as they don't cross the scrimmage line before the ball snap, and it's kind of a little bit weird. I can't really watch that. But anyways, we have to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Powell to the People on the Healthy Life Radio Network.
It's power to the people.
Millions of Americans are without access to dental benefits, especially because of the high market demand for quality and affordable dental care in America. Now here comes DentalPlans.com. It's the leading online resource for discount dental plans and an alternative to dental insurance for families and individuals. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on DentalPlans.com now and find your affordable dental care in America.
Okay, so you have a couple of days off, and you're planning to get away from stress. You may be planning to go across the world or even taking a staycation around town. Well, Hotels.com can get you a room in over 158,000 hotels, 60 countries, for 50% off. That's reducing stress already. Plus, collect 10 nights, and you'll get one night free. And there's no cancellation charges, no change fees. For the best deals, even last-minute deals, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Hotels.com.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
I'm Carole King. The opportunity to study music is one of the most valuable things we can give our young people. Music is a positive outlet for creative expression. It reinforces teamwork, communication, self-discipline, and focus, all skills that will benefit them in every aspect of their lives. If your school has a music program, encourage your child to use it. If it doesn't, work with others in your community and do whatever it takes to get one. I know how much my music programs and music teachers meant to me when I was growing up. Leave your kids a note for the future. Support music programs and music teachers in your school and community.
A public service announcement brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and this station. Music, part of a sound education.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
It's Powell to the People.
Welcome back. You're listening to Powell to the People. Wayne Powell at the beach. Well, so now, besides football, there's other sports going on. You know, basketball season is kind of winding down. And now starting up is, baseball. And and I haven't heard anything about the Shohei Ohtani scandal. With the his interpreter, and whether there was actually betting involved, and who might have been involved. I know the story was evolving minute by minute, and then it suddenly disappeared. Now, the only thing I saw about, Shohei was that he got his first home run in a Dodgers outfit, and I think that was on April 7th, because they said that on April 7th of whatever year he was started with the Anaheim Angels, that was when he got his first home run with them. There was like coincidence in that. But I know the other day he struck out, and people were like surprised. I know that there was something about Babe Ruth, and it showed during, it was a statistic, and throughout his career how many, obviously, everyone knew how many home runs, record-breaking home runs he had had, but the amount of strikeouts that he had, where he struck out, was also rather high. But they don't talk about that, but who knows? Maybe we'll find out, about Shohei Ohtani and/or his former interpreter. I'm sure there's something going on there, but maybe we'll find out, or maybe not. And now, of course, the seasons are blurred. It never used to be that the seasons would overlap. I could be wrong about that, but they were all unique during the time of year. But now, things have overlapped. And, of course, now you've got the UFL, which is not the same as the NFL. Although when they highlight the players during a game, they'll say so-and-so was from the NFL, but he got cut, or, you know, he was didn't get drafted but could have, or, you know, someone that's trying to make the NFL and, you know, he's really, they'll show a player that scores a lot of touchdowns or a lot of interceptions or a lot of tackles, and they're saying this person could be, you know, good, he's good enough for the NFL. Now, of course, the defensive players aren't necessarily as good, so somebody could be scoring a lot of touchdowns, or a quarterback could seem really good, just like a college quarterback that's really good but then gets drafted and then can't really make it in the NFL because obviously it's a whole different ball game, and you know the defensive players in the pros are a lot better than in college ball. But then you also have the people that were walk-ons. They weren't drafted. Somehow they made the travel team where you travel, you know, with the team, but you don't actually play. And then they're due to injuries. They actually play and do really well and then later become a starter and or, you know, I think there's some success stories like that where eventually they made it into the Football Hall of Fame. So you can't really count out anybody. And then I think that one person, I can't remember who was, had a Super Bowl ring, you know, because the team, you know, made it to the Super Bowl. So speaking about rings, on 60 Minutes, they had this story about this guy that was just released from prison, and he and his co-conspirators had stolen, like, Yogi Berra, the famous catcher, who also had a lot of famous quotes, like, it ain't over until it's over, I think was one of them. But he had 10 championship rings. He's now deceased, and I believe it's his sister or daughter took over the museum that he has where he had the 10 rings displayed. And it's in like bulletproof glass, but apparently this guy went and took videos, planned for months, had accomplices, and had like some kind of drill or saw that sawed through it, and they knew where the escape entrance was. Well, they stole all of the rings, you know, one-of-a-kind historical rings, and of course you can't sell something like that on the black market. So what they did was they cut them up and melted them down and then sold them, you know, to scrap metal company and got $15,000. And so they interviewed, and again, I can't remember if it's the sister or the daughter of Yogi Berra, and of course she was outraged by it. They replaced the rings, if you want to call it that. I mean, you know, they're now just merely replicas of all of the rings. And then there was this guy went and got some trophies and plaques and did the same thing, melted them down, and then of other players and from other museums. And then there were, you know, like jerseys and whatever, but they don't know where the jerseys and the other things that aren't precious metals are. But of course, they'll never be able to be sold because, you know, everyone knows now that they're hot and stolen, and so. But it was kind of interesting, and the guy didn't really. He was like expressionless, very stoic. He did show some remorse, but what was interesting was he got out of state prison. But they said now he's going to be going on trial, you know, on federal charges, and I'm not sure if they were related to those. You know, crimes or, you know, if it's something else. The reaction of the interviewer was kind of interesting. And because, it, you know, that's a sickening story that somebody would actually go to that extent. But I know, you know, whether it's brass or bronze, like cemetery markings and things. People are stealing that and grinding them up and selling them. And actually, the marker at Bruce's Beach in Manhattan Beach was stolen. You know, Bruce's Beach was to memorialize a bad time in history where the Bruce family, a black family, were run out of town by the Ku Klux Klan. And so, and then the city of Manhattan Beach is replacing it because apparently they still have the mold. To me, I would have something, they have like anodized aluminum, which is a heck of a lot cheaper, won't be stolen because it's not as marketable. You know, it seems like they should do a replacement with that, but apparently, you know, it's readily available, the mold and the materials, and they're, if they haven't already, or, you know, it's going to be replaced. So, but it's just a shame that people go around, you know, desecrating things like that or, you know, destroying them. And so, anyways, you know, moving along, you know, I don't know why I'm laughing, it's not so funny, but every day you turn on the TV and there's car chases, street takeovers, and, you know, racing crashes, and sadly, you know, people get hurt or even killed as a result of all of that. Car chases, people never, very rarely, ever get away, and so they wind up surrendering or getting into a crash and, of course, then getting arrested. But sadly, those are the times that we live in. Well, I hate to end on a bad note, but that's all the time we have. I want to thank my listeners for listening to Powell to the People. And always remember, power is the ability to do good things for others and to make your community and the world a better place. This is Wayne Powell sending you positive thoughts and good wishes. Stay safe, be well, and have a great week. We'll see you back next Monday. Until then, bye for now.
Powell, it's Powell to the people. You're listening to Wayne Powell on Powell to the People. It's Powell, Powell to the people. You're listening to Wayne Powell on Powell to the People.